Time now for our high school football roundtable. We're now to week three of the high school season. We'll start with Zach Showers and Selins Grove. So, Zach, tough week. So, what do they need to do to bounce back after a tough week?
Yeah, I think tomorrow night's going to be one of those games where it would be really nice if Selins Grove could hit some plays early and get some positive momentum. Last week against Central Mountain, Selins Grove just really couldn't do anything offensively. They were held to just 131 yards. And I think tomorrow night they just really have to get that offense going, and that's easier said than done about it against a pretty aggressive Shamokin team.
All right, so let's get into that because, look, for years of doing this segment about Selins Grove's prolific offense, even when it changed a little bit last year, they still could move the ball. How tough is that when you're suddenly out of nowhere? You can't move the ball like that last week.
Yeah, it's very tough. And I think the thing last week that was difficult was it wasn't necessarily one of those weeks where there wasn't anything going. It was also a lot of missed opportunities. The defense and special teams had created two opportunities where Selins Grove had the ball within inside the 5 yard line. And in fact, they had the ball at the 1 yard line at one point, and a penalty and a couple negative plays. And Selins Grove only walked away with 3 points despite having that. And then later in the game, they were able to take the ball down to the 16 yard line and also came out of that with nothing as well. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a little bit more back to the basics tomorrow night. Shamokin has a pretty aggressive defense, but there's also a fair amount of room in the middle of the field there. They're going to put 8 guys in the box. So I expect Selins Grove to come out and try to make some plays and get past that first line of defense. And if they're able to do that, there's some big plays. But if not, you can be looking at some negative plays in the backfield.
How many guys does Selins Grove have playing both ways right now, Zach?
Starting, you're probably looking at 7 or 8, and that's been a big theme right now. Defensively, they have been very, very solid, only giving up 13 points. And I mean, most weeks, if you can give up 13 points in 2 games, you expect to be 2-0. But we've kind of seen that a little bit of fatigue. It seems like a lot of those starters are playing very fast, very quick on defense, and then they're getting to offense, and there's a little bit of a let up on offense with going full speed. So that's definitely an area that the Seals coaching staff is trying to find creative ways to get some guys off the field and get some of the younger guys some time to play and to give a break.
What's a good matchup with Shamokin? I mean, where can maybe Selins Grove match up with this team?
I think defensively that they should be fine. This is a team that, like I said, they've only given up 2 scoring drives in the first 2 games. There's opportunities there to make some plays on the defensive side of the ball and hopefully set up some field position, especially up front if they can get those defensive linemen up the field and create some turnovers that will help. And like I said a little bit earlier, there are some plays that can be made on Shamokin's defense. It's just handling those assignments up front and hopefully being able to get some athletes out in space to make some plays.
Zach, always a pleasure. You do great work. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, so that's on Eagle 107. Now let's transition to News Radio 1070 WKOK, where Shikellamy is in action tomorrow night. And the Chief, Dave Ritchie, joins us. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you back, my friend.
That's good to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so let's start with an Apollo 13 question, where Gene Kranz looks around everybody and says, all right, let's start with this. Tell me what we have in the spacecraft that's good. So tell me on the spacecraft for Schick, what's good?
Well, after Friday night's game, two things. Probably we have a pretty good punter, and we also have we didn't have any penalties. So there's those two things were positives, but after that, it was one of those nights where nothing seemed to go well. I remember many times telling Kevin that there were, out of the 11 defensive players from Jersey Shore, there'd be eight of them that were around the ball carrier when they made the tackle. It was quite a display of, I think, one of the best defenses that I've seen in a long time. Chickalamy's offense was held to 25 yards, and that's not good. It just seemed like they couldn't get anything going. But I know that's kind of tough to say, but our punting and no penalties were probably the two things that I could say were positive during that game.
Usually, Dave, I'm not a big believer in it carries from one season to the next because, look, people get older, people graduate, new people come in. It's a different dynamic. But is there a concern that because last season was a really rough one and this is a really rough start, that there's a confidence issue?
It seems that both this season and last season started out the same with not having a lot of good offensive plays and the defense giving up a lot of points. But if you remember last year in the middle of the season, Chickalamy went up to Central Mountain, scored over 50 points, and then went on a roll where they went for the next five games. And I think that could happen again because I think they ran into two of the best teams that are in their division right away, Central Mountain and Jersey Shore. And, you know, Films Grove is probably the third best one there. But, you know, if they get...
When Zach said that
Films Grove could have some positive things happen right away in their game against Timokin, he hit the nail right on the head with Chickalamy. They need something positive to happen, and I think the kids would be resilient enough to build off of that. You know, whether it's a sustained drive, whether it's a special team score, or just a good defensive stop to get their confidence back, that's something that I think they need to look forward to. As far as being the same as last year,
I'm thinking that that there could be some carryover, but
I would think that there's enough
kids on the team that played last year and saw
that they could be successful. Kind of rule that one out as far as that goes.
Okay. Man, getting a takeaway early would be great, too. I mean, it's just yourself up to some
Jersey
momentum.
Jersey Shore had two fumble recoveries and an interception against the Braves that stalled the offense, and Chickalamy had no turnovers. Jersey Shore had no turnovers against Chickalamy,
so... Jersey Shore played one of the best football games that I've seen, and I know I'm sounding like a broken record when I said Central Mountain was good, but the kids from Jersey Shore, I think it was Broyles from Arkansas said he liked them lean and mean, and those kids are lean and mean. They really put on a show against the Braves last Friday night.
All right, so is there a matchup here somewhere in here that you think gives Chickalamy a good shot?
Well, I think this week against Milton, Milton's in the same position as Chickalamy as last year. Milton, I don't know if they won a game last year. I'm not sure. They might not have, but but the communities are very similar, and it's always a good matchup for the Braves. And Shamokin, who was beat pretty bad by Jersey Shore, came out and defeated Milton last week, 37-6. So I would think that both teams are, Milton and Chickalamy, are both in the same situation. They're just trying to get some positive things to happen. And Milton, I think, as far as offense and defensive lines, the Braves match up very well against them. And as far as quarterbacks, I think the Braves might have a little bit more of an edge there. Drew's been quarterbacking the Braves for 3 years now. Running backs, they do have a couple of good running backs in Camello and also in Minion, but the Braves also have some good running backs. I think Milton might have a little bit of an edge as far as passing, because they've got Minion's a pretty good deep threat. So, but yeah. I do think this will be, this is a pivotal week
And I think it could be a turning point for either the Braves or for the Black Panthers, depending on who plays the best on Friday night.
Yep, I think this is a big game because you'd be amazed at how much better you practice when you have something positive. All right.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, I remember
Chief
playing,
always,
I remember
Chief,
from coaching.
Yeah, exactly. Chief, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. You have a good week, all right? Thank you.
You too. Dave Ritchie, and that game will be on WKOK and 100.9 The Valley's where Lewisburg resides. Greg Wetzel now resides with us on the radio. Greg, welcome back, my friend. Congrats on the 2-over par 74.
That would be wonderful if it was true, but not quite true today.
Just roll with me on this. Work with me.
Gotcha.
it makes you feel better. It makes you look good.
I was 2-over in the front nine. How's that?
That's pretty good. That's
okay,
pretty good.
I didn't maintain that level of play.
There you go. Quick story about that. The other day I shot 39. I was on the white course. So I shot 39. Mm-hmm. So I texted Jack Ham, and I said, Jack, shot 39, but I think it was the cart. And I took a picture of the cart, and I said it was cart number 59.
There you go. That's right.
And he texted back, Steve, it can only help. All right.
That's right.
Are you surprised at all by the Lewisburg start, Craig?
I am. I thought they had a shot to be 2-0 at this time. Definitely thought they'd be 1-1 at this time, but their offensive line just has not held up well against the defensive fronts of Central Columbia and Mifflinburg, and that's really been the name of the game for them the first 2 weeks. They haven't been able to generate any offense with arguably one of the best running backs in the area, and Max Moyers.
How many guys are playing two ways, and in particular, how many guys are playing both ways in the interior line?
In the interior line, they shuffle back and forth. So they have seven guys playing at essentially the 10, the eight defensive line spots and offensive line. So they're shuffling them in and out. So that I don't think is a huge issue, Steve. Going both ways, they have six guys going both ways.
That's not bad.
That doesn't seem to be a major issue right now. The problem is, and I shouldn't say that, it might be an issue on the line because those kids are big. And, early in the season with the warm weather and stuff, fatigue does play a role later in the game. I mean, Mifflinburg scored their one touchdown from 6 yards out on a quarterback sneak. So, that could be fatigue or poor technique, which is a cause of fatigue, so.
Right. Now, you got to play the full four quarters. But how important would it be for Lewisburg to have something early happen that's really good, and now they get to play the game with the lead?
That would be really important. And they're probably their toughest game, one of their toughest games of the year is coming up this Friday night in Danville, who has maybe the best quarterback in District 4, arguably the best quarterback. He's thrown for over 5,000 yards in his career. He's rushed for close to 1,000 yards in his career. He kicks off, he kicks extra points, and he punts. So that's the kid they're up against this week. And Danville as a team is averaging 52 points a game right now. And they need something positive to happen. Their offense they were running was a triple option. I believe you're going to see the triple option still, but I think you're going to see a lot more shotgun with Max Moyers now being 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage and seeing some area that he can run instead of in that Navy offense triple option where he's 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So I think that's going to help them offensively. It's a question whether you see that this week because of the caliber of competition they're playing.
Does this team have the capability? What would it mean to this team to not only finish the drive, but eat up time on drives as they finish them.
That would be huge. That would be a huge thing, Steve, for this team to go down the field and score a touchdown. Last week they scored two touchdowns, and the total probably amount of time they had the ball in each of those drives was 2 minutes per drive. And so they're not keeping the clock, keeping the ball. They ran 29 plays last week. Mifflinburg had a running back that ran the ball 30 times.
Yeah.
You can see what's going on with their offense, but their defense is on the field an awful lot. And if you look at the statistics, you're going to say, oh, their defense is playing pretty well because, you know, Mifflinburg only rushed for 160 yards last week, and they ran the ball like 45 times. So, you know, it's not that bad of an average when you look at it, but a lot of times they're in a third and two situation, fourth and one, those types of things. So they just need somebody to make a play and get them excited about playing football again and playing with the lead.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, hey, look, he's only averaging this, but third and two, third and one, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yep, you're exactly right. Yep.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate
great
you very much. Same here, Greg.
Have fun. Take care, man.
You too. Greg Wetzel, you're here at the game on 100.9 The Valley. Seals Grove on Eagle 107, Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley, and Shikellamy on News Radio 1070 WKOK.